Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, welcome to The Bodcast, Bustle's podcast for radical self-love, fat acceptance, and visibility for all. Marie Southard Ospina here, and I'm sitting here with the truly inimitable Substantia Jones of the Addie Positivity Project. Her images often depict fatness in complete unapology, and they're bold and radical and strikingly beautiful, so I am more than honored that you are with me today.
Thank you, Marie. Mm-hmm. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. So for people listening who do not... who are not familiar with your work, can you tell us what adipositivity is and what that word means?
The word adipositivity is a made-up word. It's a portmanteau of the words adipose, which literally mean fat, and the word positivity, which we all know what that means.
You've been running Adipos for almost 10 years.
That's right.
Which, in my eyes, kind of makes you present in this conversation since way before the buzzword worthy status of,
you could say, old
of body positivity.
I'm vintage.
Well, one of the front runners in a lot of ways. And I'm wondering what your intro into this kind of world of fat politics and fat photography was. What was that like?
You may not want to hear this, but it started kind of in a social way. I was engaged to someone who was not down with the fat body and always wanted me to lose weight. That's so odd for me to think of being in a situation like that. But I was. And when I decided we were going to break up, I started investigating dating kind of on a whim, dating specifically guys who had a preference for fat women.
Yeah.
I had the attitude that many do before that. Prior to that, I thought something is wrong with them, or they have hang-ups, or they fetishize fat bodies specifically.
And of course, fetishizing, like that word is such a loaded, negatively connoted.
Exactly.
Term.
And I should stop right now and say there's no problem. I have no issue if people have fetishes in their relationship, but that wasn't what I was looking for. So just kind of on a whim one night, saw an ad for a dance, a BBW, I hate that term, dance. I do, in the Village Voice. And I just, boom, put a dress on, went. And that night, they were queued up waiting to talk to me because I had that fresh meat thing because I'm assuming this was a bit of an insular community. I found the scene wasn't really for me. The parties weren't really for me. But I did at that point start dating exclusively guys who had a preference for fat women. And that's when I learned all about it, that, you know, all of my fears were put to rest. And I decided I love my body. I want to love my body. I love sex. I don't want to have sex with somebody
who is overlooking anything.
I want them to desire me hungrily.
Yeah. This is something I personally am 100% on board with, but the idea of people having a preference, I think, for fatness, it's like viewed so differently from someone having a preference for thinness. It's just...
Absolutely.
And I do think we have types, and I don't, like, a lot of people, you know, do have that body that just captures them and captivates them and that they want to ravish and that they know how to appreciate in a way that someone who might not have that preference
absolutely
wouldn't have a clue about.
Absolutely. If you're with a partner for whom your body has been an ideal in their mind since they were kids, how are you going to argue with that? What is the problem with that? No one thinks twice if someone has a preference for a woman with long legs or a man with a six-pack or built-up calves.
And it takes out the timidity of it on both parties' ends, I think. You know, you're not sitting there thinking, like, second-guessing what this person thinks of your body, so you're exactly. free expressing that.
Oh my God, am I fatter in person?
Yeah, you don't have to think about any of that. And absolutely. They don't have to think about, can I touch her fat roll? And is she going to be offended if I touch, you know, if I'm, like, grabbing something that's fat? Like,
absolutely.
It's just an entirely different experience.
And in fat activism, it's not talked about a lot because I think we're often expected to think only lofty thoughts and have, you know, we're supposed to be fist-pumping all the time. But that's how that was my introduction. What I found that much of it wasn't for me. The bashes aren't for me. The parties aren't for me. But it's kind of like, you know, you've got to dip your toe in somewhere. And from there, you start to acquire knowledge. You start to get more and more comfortable with your body, which is what was happening to me. Yes, much of that came from partners. And I'm not proud or ashamed of that. That's just the way it happened. So from there, I started investigating body positivity before that was even really a term. And I started taking pictures. Actually, the introduction of digital cameras is really where the Adipositivity Project came from more than anything. I started taking pictures of myself first and was just absolutely alarmed at how different I looked than my perception, in a positive way. And I thought I had learned a couple of things through the years about perception, about negative perception. I discovered that we respond more positively across the board in every way to that which we find aesthetically pleasing to our eyes. And we can whine about how horrible that is, or we can accept that it's part of our nature,
our biology,
and try to work with it. I also noted that the same fiancé who did not appreciate my fat body and wished I had lost weight, while we were together, he slowly, and he was vocal about this. He said, you know, I'm now starting to notice big women on the street in a different way. Mode magazine came out when we were together, and he brought it home excitedly to me. Look, you know, and I thought, living with me has sort of moved him toward appreciating fat bodies more. So I put those two things together. I decided that constant bombardment of positive depictions of fat people, naked fat people, and at that time, naked fat women specifically, could maybe change some minds about not attraction, because we can't change that, but about just the aesthetic validity of these people. And even though that might seem like a very surface thing, a very superficial, shallow thing, that kind of is, for many people, for most of us, human beings anyway, that is the source of paying closer attention to everything about that person, including what they say. So I thought, oh, great, I'm going to change the world. So I started asking people, can I take naked pictures of you for the internet? And they were like, ah.
Just random people on the street.
No, but people that I knew, fat people that I knew or knew of. And some were reluctant, some were, you know, sure. So I started in 07. I just put up 50 images and with the promise that I would put up a new one every, I think a couple of times a week is what I did at first. And I didn't do anything to promote it. It was just my own personal little photo blog. But within about a month or two, a few months anyway, the Fatosphere discovered it. And
I'm not familiar with
okay.
With what
that's
that is.
I love that you don't know that word, because I feel like that word is no longer used, but at the time it's what was used to refer to fat bloggers.
Okay, the online fat community.
Yes, and there was
why don't we use that?
I don't know, but there was actually an aggregator called Notes from the Fatosphere or something. I didn't know about any of this when I started Adipositivity. I only learned of it when my name started popping up. And so then it really took off, thanks to all these bloggers who were posting about it and asking about it and promoting it. And that was great/horrible. But mostly great. So then I thought, oh, and I started hearing from people from all over the world, which has never slowed down. I get emails constantly. And that's what really keeps me at it, because people, even though I wasn't cool with my fat body for a long time, I never really experienced the body shame that I hear about every day in these emails. And that's what lets me know that I have to keep at it, because people will tell me, I quote this one woman so often, I don't know who she is, but a woman once wrote me and said, I just looked at all the photos on your site, and this is the first day in memory that I've not cried about my body. Wow. And that's very similar in tone to many of the emails I get. So, and mind you, as people listening to this now think, well, what's the big deal? We have Tumblr, and you know, you can't swing a cat without hitting a naked fat lady, which is true, and it's wonderful, and I'm so thankful for that. But in 07, when I started, that was not the case.
No, I mean,
if you saw a naked woman on the internet, it was for the purposes of porn or making her the butt of a joke. That was pretty much it, as far as my exposure anyway.
Yes.
So this was very new and different, and I kept at it. And then since then, so many people have followed suit. I get some of my mail is, you know, hey, I've started my own adipositivity project in Helsinki, or, you know, I'm doing this in India. And then Tumblr just really changed the whole landscape.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful for all those people, all those young people specifically, who are showing their proud bellies on Tumblr.
Yes, absolutely. It's undoubtedly a good thing. I'd love to talk a little bit about how you navigate nude photography in a world where perceptions of nudity are so polarizing. And on the one hand, you have people who truly feel that it's immoral, it's slutty, it's not right for women to be naked, for them to be owning that autonomy over their nude bodies. And then on the other hand, you have nudity being used to sell us things, to sell us products. You know, you have the female form being over-sexualized in that way. But your images are so raw, and they're not trying to sell us anything except maybe empowerment. And I wonder how you navigate that, and figuring out how to shoot in a world where nudity is so stigmatized in different ways.
Bottom line, nudity is not sex. Sex is not porn. And porn is not evil. And I wish I had a nickel for every time I had to say that to someone. Because nudity is not sex. And if every time you see a naked body, you think of sex, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but you have to also take into consideration the point that the nude person is trying to make. I'm very careful, you know, and if people wank to adipositivity pictures, you know, I have no control over that. I don't care. That's fine. You're human. I warn potential adiposers, you know, you will be wanked to. You will be ridiculed publicly online. You know, you must be prepared for that. People will use you as the butt of jokes. You must be prepared for that. But sex, nudity is not sex. And for example, and people use this as a tool for their hate. I'm trying to use nude photography in a subversive way. Advertisers use it all the time, but they use a particular kind of body. I'm trying to use it.
The aspirational body.
Exactly. I'm trying to use it with fat bodies to help those that inhabit those fat bodies feel better about themselves. But it is still used as a tool of hate, and people often don't understand. People who should understand. There are haters who their tool to stop the Adipositivity Project is to report everything I do to Facebook. And I like Facebook. I was banned twice last month for posting photos which did not violate
the guidelines.
Their guidelines.
Yes.
They recently lost a court case in France, and they now are mandated to allow nude art. I have the credentials. You know, my work has won awards. I've hung in galleries and museums. I've got a 2-month solo exhibition of my work coming up in a museum this summer. I have the credentials, but yet they knee-jerk if they see, in the first image that they banned me for last month was, you could see far away the outline of a nipple. It was for International Women's Day. It was a group of women together.
It was a nipple on a fat body.
It was a nipple on a fat body. That is an important distinction.
That has more flesh and is therefore somehow more naked than the thin body with a nipple.
Thank you. Much more offensive. Then I was back a few days and they banned me again. And where they show the image that they're banning you for, there was no image. And I couldn't get them to tell me what they had banned me for. There were no nipples. They said, look at these photos. And you take out the ones that are nude, and they were photos of my trip to California and the sequoias, and there were no nipples in any of those pictures. So the haters have discovered that they have this really fun, quick, easy tool
to mess with you,
and ultimately to slow me way, way down. And Facebook is saying, if you keep doing this, we're gonna ban you permanently. And I would hate for that to happen. I enjoy Facebook socially. It is a valuable tool to promote the project. But it looks like it probably is going to happen because I can't get them to have an exchange of ideas with me. Even though I'm in the right, even according to their rules, it's going to keep happening and I probably will be ultimately banned. But that is a good example of people using nudity in combat, associating nudity with sex, that's wrong. And that also leads to a lot of messed up thoughts and feelings about our own bodies and about the bodies of others. If you are sexualizing every nude body, that leads to, I think, all sorts of nastiness.
I just don't understand the justification there of banning nudity in your case while ads that are almost nude, partially nude, suggestively nude, can still survive on Facebook?
Right. I mean, I had repeated anal penetration in my face on Facebook a couple of days ago. I mean, repeated. And, I was like, thanks, Facebook. This really makes so much sense to me. Last year, there was a Facebook group devoted to sexualizing underage girls. And it was not subtle. It was not subtle. They talked about, here's one I want to rape, literally in braces and pigtails. And I started writing Facebook. I naively thought, oh, they'll take this down right away. They said we reviewed it and they're not in violation. So I said, okay, I have an army. We're going to write to you, a whole bunch of us. So I got people all over the world to write to Facebook. They responded to each of us. I'm sorry, they're not in violation. So I hate to say it, but we stopped writing. At a certain point, we realized there was nothing we could do. Then, like a few months later, we all at the same time got the same email or message from Facebook saying, we've reconsidered and we've blocked these people and taken the group down.
Okay.
So we all, there was a cheer around the world for this cause that we sort of gave up on because we were at a loss as to how to move it any further. But that's an example of messed up, I'm told, sort of residual frat boy mentality in the management of Facebook, unfortunately.
That is unfortunate. I mean, especially when I consider the power that images like yours have. I think Addie Positivity Project, in its earlier years, was amongst the first times I saw naked bodies that were fat that weren't me. You know, I'd never really seen it. I'd not seen a naked fat body. You know, I'd seen my own, except I barely looked at it because I didn't want to. I was conditioned to think that it was terrible and I was trying to fix it, in quotes. So I didn't really spend much time looking at myself or even really thinking about what fat bodies could look like, that they could be beautiful, that they could be just that they could be subversive. You know, that never occurred to me. And I do know your images were amongst the first that kind of something clicked.
And very often the naked fat women that we do see in art are of a certain body type. They are smaller fats. They are hourglass shaped. Whereas
the adipose skinned as well.
Yes, exactly. Very rarely women of color. And on the Adipositivity Project, you have not only racial diversity, but you have many different body types. Because once you get beyond a certain weight, your fat accumulates in very different ways.
Different ways,
yes. It's all very individual. So, you know, you have people with very big bellies and small legs, and you have people with very wide hips, and they're all there. And I have people, this goes to show you how important visibility is for your own sense of belonging. I have people who will write me and say, I've looked at your project every week since the beginning, and today you posted someone who looks just like me, and it made a huge difference. Thank you very much. Yeah. That's what
and
they're waiting for.
And it'll keep making a difference. We're seeing more nudity of fatness than we were, certainly 5 years ago. And, you know, as you mentioned, there's people on Tumblr, there's girls grabbing their bellies on Tumblr with no clothes on. You know, that all has a place and that all has a role. But something that we've also been seeing a lot of recently is visibility and mainstream visibility, as you touched upon, of plus-size women who are on the smaller end of plus-size women who are hourglass and fair-skinned and have the big butt but the flat stomach. That's what we're being presented with over and over again. I think of Ashley Graham. You know, she's been in the media just for weeks now since Sports Illustrated, and I'm so thrilled that, you know, a plus model, even if it's a curve model on the smaller end of the spectrum, has that visibility. But then I feel like it's getting to this point where it's almost erasing all the visibility that's left to achieve for the bigger fats and for the people above a size 22 who are actively discriminated against. And it's kind of eclipsed things like Gabourey Sidibe being in lingerie in V magazine, which was incredible. She is a visibly fat woman of color that, you know, we don't see that. We don't see that very often, particularly in lingerie or partially nude. But it didn't get anywhere near the attention that the smaller plus models are getting. And I'm just wondering, yeah, how does one amp up that visibility? How can you combat the fact that we're kind of celebrating some while leaving a lot of others behind?
I think much of what plus size retailers are doing is problematic, and I'm incredulous when they say, look at us, in a self-congratulatory way. Look at us, we're embracing diversity. And they show six or seven mostly white women with virtually the same bodies, maybe a couple of inches different in height. But all hourglass, very, very frightfully few women of color, and they pat themselves on the back for that. And that is not diversity. They've even used the word diversity in these campaigns, and
yeah,
that
they
is
adopt
not
those words.
Exactly.
Diversity, body positivity, size acceptance. It's adopted in these distorted ways.
Right. They're kicking us in the nuts and running off with what we've done, and they are unsubverting what we've worked very hard to accomplish. And it vexes me. It truly vexes me, and I don't really understand why a lot of people are falling for it, except it pushes some buttons. It's very beautiful, but don't call it diversity. Call it what it is, which is status quo. Visibility is very important. Author Juno Diaz said, if you want to make a human being into a monster, deny them at the cultural level any reflection of themselves. And that really sums up the importance of diversity for everyone. But fat people are not getting the visibility that we need. We are denied it at the cultural level, in media, so we have to make our own.
How about we move into the segment Words Matter, which is where we kind of discuss words like BBW, fat, curvy, plus size, all these words that are loaded, that have different connotations and interpretations. Well, you mentioned that you hate BBW, and I know that's a loaded one, but I'm super interested into why.
Maybe a lot of the reason I don't like that term, BBW, is visceral. I don't know. I don't have a lot of logic behind my disdain for it. But
okay. For
one thing, it seems to make beautiful, the descriptor beautiful, a requirement.
Mm.
And it's not. It's, you know, beauty is like health. It's your choice whether or not you want to pursue it.
Do you think that's a subjective term as well, though? I mean,
beauty?
It can mean something different individual to individual based on their own preferences and perceptions.
I love arguing this. It absolutely means when I say beauty, and I was forced by a detractor recently to examine what I mean when I say beauty. Mm-hmm. And I realized or fleshed out more than I had previously that when I say beauty, I pretty much mean just as much what's internal as the surface. Often when I say something is beautiful, I'm not talking about the surface at all. So for me, the word beauty has a much broader definition than it does for most people. Okay. And then what anybody finds physically beautiful is also very, very subjective. There are certain things we've been taught that are universal, like babies respond positively to symmetry in faces and things like that. But otherwise, it is very subjective.
So do you think when people say BBW, big, beautiful woman, they still mean what? They still mean traditional beauty in the face?
I do. I absolutely, that term, and I know that a lot of people use it, and I don't do online dating sites, mm-hmm. but I'm told that you kind of have to use that term if you want to weed out people who aren't into fat people, fat partners, that you kind of have to use that term right. if you're a woman. And that, I would not have a problem with that. That's a matter of practicality. But when I hear the term BBW, I think, how you doing? That's just what I think. Okay. So I avoid it. Also, I really, really dig the word fat.
Yes.
I'm not trying to cause trouble, but it is a little disarming. And some people still bristle. Some fat people still bristle. But to me, it's very, very important to use it.
It's essential to use it.
It is.
If we're ever going to take it away from being solely negative, solely an insult. Absolutely. We have to use it positively.
Exactly. We have to reclaim it. Many fat people still think that it means something negative. And it can, if you string it together with a bunch of pejoratives, yes, it can mean something negative, just like anything, just like any descriptor can. But it is, in and of itself, a morally neutral descriptor. The word fat is a morally neutral descriptor.
Absolutely.
And the more we restrict our use of it, the more these other words that we don't want to use crop up, like the word obese, which pathologizes, medicalizes that which is a naturally occurring place on the spectrum of benign human variation. We don't want that. We don't want to use the word overweight because that suggests...
It implies there's a base weight.
There's a demarcation over which you mustn't exist. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be over that. So, you know, I want to get away from those words. So I use the word fat, 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 fat. I love fat.
I do love the word fat. I mean, that is what I am. I don't see the point in sugarcoating it. It isn't just, and it is morally neutral.
A lot of well-meaning people use words like obese and overweight. Maybe it's just because they're afraid of the word fat.
I think a lot of people are afraid of the word fat for very historical, deeply rooted issues. But with obese, I almost feel like it's this marker of health, and it's like supposed to be this emblem of if you are obese, you are unhealthy. But the funny thing is it's rooted in almost nothing. Like, obese is a word that's rooted in BMI, and there are so many studies that disprove BMI's validity in a health perspective.
BMI began as a parlor trick. You know, it was never intended to be used as the way it's being used today in 2016 when we should know better.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the term glorifying obesity and that which apparently we all do?
It's my favorite accusation. I love when people write me and tell me that they want to know, how do I sleep at night? Because I'm glorifying obesity, and it's usually
you're leading
to
the destruction of the world.
I am. I've got blood on my hands.
It's going to be Wally soon.
I usually tell them, what I am glorifying. I am glorifying body autonomy. I am glorifying body freedom, positivity, body love. I am glorifying freedom from body shame. I am glorifying people who are pushing back against sizist bigotry. I am glorifying enjoying sex by enjoying your body. Those are the things that I am glorifying. And I just stop listening to anybody using the word obesity in an earnest way. Ironically, only in my book.
Yeah, the thing about glorifying as well, I think when people accuse you of that, accuse you of glorification of fatness or obesity, it's comes with this assumption that you're saying everyone should be fat. You know, that's what I want. I want the whole world to be full of fatties. And glorification has so many definitions. And my favorite one is to cause to be or treat as being more splendid, excellent than would be considered normal. So when people ask me, like, are you glorifying fatness? Are you glorifying obesity? In a sense, I really am. Like, if that means lifting it up from the socially constructed version of what that means, then yeah, I am. Like, I am trying to elevate the perception of fatness and fat people's feelings towards themselves. Why wouldn't I want to elevate that? Why wouldn't I care about that?
My understanding of it, it leads me to think that I'm not glorifying it because I am not exalting it to a point of suggesting that it is a better way of being than any other way of being.
Nor am I.
Because we are, I don't even use the word skinny because that grates on me. It seems very negative. It seems cruel and ugly. So I don't use the word skinny. I'll use the word thin. Or average, because average is one thing. It's not normal. That's another word that bothers me. Don't say normal bodies.
No.
Because that's a judgy word. Glorifying also seems to suggest that I am promoting something that doesn't currently exist. I'm trying to push something into a point of reality, which is not the case. I want people to feel better about the body they have. I don't want to glorify something they don't have and encourage them to gain weight or lose weight or modify their body in any way to make it something that they don't currently have or don't currently want. Yeah. I want people to be happy with what they have, and I want them to exercise their own body autonomy, realize that what they do with their bodies is their business, and remember that same rule applies to other people.
Yeah, and that's so important when you consider general contemporary, Western perceptions of fatness. It's bad. It's unhealthy. It's ugly. It's undesirable. It's causing us tax money. It's doing all these terrible things. That's what fatness is generally perceived as.
And you are weak of character if you are
weak,
fat.
Yeah, if not just entirely bad, villainized. Mm-hmm. And to glorify to me just means to elevate the fat people who've been told that their whole lives and try to just show that you aren't those things. Your body is not a marker of anything more than that alone, than what your body looks like. That's it. That's the end point.
That I am fully supportive of.
Yeah. Cool. That was where it's mattered. So, Substantia, something I love to do is shout out some voices in, be it body positivism or fat positivism, who don't have the platforms that some of the more mainstream people have and that, really make an impact on these conversations. And yeah, so do you have a body positive badass of the week of sorts?
I definitely have a body positive badass of the week, the year, the universe. Her name is Dr. Kat Pause, and she is a lecturer at Massey University in Palmerston North, New Zealand. And she is doing so much to spread the message of body love and fat acceptance throughout New Zealand. She travels around to different cities and speaks. She is hosting this June's New Zealand Fat Studies Conference, at which I will be a keynote speaker. She has put together the better part of a South Pacific speaking tour for me beginning this June for 5 weeks. I'll be there going around speaking and taking pictures of naked fat New Zealanders, I hope.
Yes.
But it's very important work that she's doing because New Zealand is a country that fat immigrants have to live under the fear of being deported at any time.
Right.
It's been in the news recently with a chef who famously has been there for a few years and has been fighting that. So, you know, even if they don't follow through on these things, that's not a healthy way to live. A lot of our beliefs about fat being unhealthy have been disproven repeatedly, you know, in very good peer-reviewed studies. What we do know is unhealthy is minority stress. And this, when it's coming from the very institutions under which you live, the institutions which govern you, that's far more dangerous than any other health risk.
How can people find her, find info on her?
She hosts a radio show there called Friend of Maryland, and it is all fat topics. She interviews fat bloggers and fat designers of plus-size fashion. And so if you look up Friend of Maryland, you're going to find Dr. Kat Pauzet.
Amazing.
Badass.
So, Substantia, where can people find you if they want to look at your incredible photography?
You can go to adipositivity.com. That's adipositivity.com. And beware, there are hundreds and hundreds of naked fat people there. So it might not be safe for work unless you work at Naked Fat Lady Land. I'm also
on. I wish that was a place.
I know. Why there should be. Let's do that. Let's make a Naked Fat
Please.
Lady Land.
Please.
I'm also on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr as Adipositivity. And if you go to any of those places in the next month, you're going to find me whining, cajoling, and whining some more about my first ever crowdfunding campaign, which is to support a South Pacific speaking tour that I'll be leaving for 5 weeks beginning the 1st of June. I'm going to go all over New Zealand and Australia and
going to teach people about fatness.
I'm going to lecture fat people and then shoot them, which is not nearly as painful as it sounds.
Substantia, I cannot thank you enough for taking this time to just talk to me. You are a gem of a human, and your insights on all this stuff is just so important. I really hope you don't get banned from Facebook again.
I will. Marie, thank you so much for having me in, and thanks to Bustle for everything.
You can find the podcast on SoundCloud, iTunes, and please go over and subscribe. There's a lot of awesome stuff and amazing people coming up.